Good morning. This is Becky Spieth, and I'm so glad that you're here with us this morning. And for those of you that are on the call live, you're getting an extra blessing today. I just know that God's going to honor you for your time commitment, for your excellence. And we're going to be talking today about living for something greater. This has been a resounding theme around me for a long time, probably most of my life, actually. And I'm just seeing it just really come to the forefront the last few months, and the message is everywhere I look. So I wanted to be able to share this with you today. I'm going to open in prayer real quick, and then we'll just jump right into the Word of God. Father God, thank you so much for our time together. Lord, thank you that we are focused, that our eyes are on you, that you've taken the scales off of our eyes so we can see as you see, that our ears are unplugged so we can hear your wisdom and your direction, Lord, and we can receive it inside of our hearts. Lord, I ask that you would speak through my mouth of clay. Lord, I pray that you would give me supernatural recall of your word and wisdom. Lord, I pray that you will use me and my mouth. Lord, I surrender it to you. You can use it to speak your word to your people. Lord, I thank you for this honor of being able to minister to your people, Lord, and to pray and to lift up the needs that are on their hearts. We love you so much, and we just give you glory because you are such an amazing and incredible God. You love us so much. You're so patient. You're so kind. You're so full of grace and mercy towards us. We're so undeserving. We want to just lift all of our lives up to you, every thought we have, every ounce of our being back up to you and give you glory for it. We praise you and we thank you. We ask this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Well, I want to talk to you this morning about Daniel. Now, he and his friends were extraordinary, but they probably didn't feel like things were going to work out too good for them. And I bet as we talk today, you're going to see a lot of similarities about how your life kind of mirrors Daniel's, and about how your situations that you're going through, whether it's in your life or in your business, actually will mirror a lot of what Daniel and his friends went through. You know, Daniel was a young man, and he was living in Jerusalem, and he and his friends were there. They were part of the more privileged group. They were a part of the tribe of Judah, and all of a sudden, there was a war. They were taken captive as prisoner of war, and along with their families, and many, many people died. It was a five-month walk to get back to Babylon. They had to walk, and I'm sure their conditions weren't great, and being prisoners of war, you can only imagine what that was like. I'm sure their food wasn't much, and probably not much fresh water, and many of their families passed. So as they made this long journey, I'm sure that they had a lot of time to think about, you know, my life isn't turning out the way I thought it was gonna. This isn't exactly what I thought I would do with my life, especially as young men. Can you remember when we were growing up? You had all of these visions of what you thought your life would be like and how everything would turn out. And, you know, maybe you were envisioning your wedding if you were a girl and your husband and the kind of home you'd have and the job you may have and the family you'd raise. I'm sure that if you were a young man, you were thinking about your career and how you were going to protect and take care of your family. I'm sure they had all of these desires that we had, but they were kind of shattered in a day. I don't know if you've ever had an experience like that where you think, well, you know, I think things are going pretty well. You're pretty smart. You're pretty adept. You're doing pretty well. Then all of a sudden, circumstances outside of your control kind of change things for you. Well, that's what happened to Daniel and his three friends. And one thing that I thought was amazing about the story of Daniel, which you can find in the book of Daniel, it's actually the entire book of Daniel that I'm going to be referencing today, that he realized he was bright. He knew he had something greater inside of him. He knew that God called him for a special purpose, but it didn't make sense as he looked at his circumstances because now he was a slave. And it tells us in the scripture that Daniel and his friends were among the brightest and the best of the Hebrews. And he was chosen to be a part of the court of Nebuchadnezzar. So this was a special privilege. Some of the people, I'm sure, were just completely executed. And some of them they gave in to compromise, and they just decided, I'm not going to fight against this anymore. I'm just going to go ahead and become Babylonian in spirit as well as in action. But that wasn't what Daniel and his friends decided to do. They decided to do something different. They sought out to glorify God by serving with excellence the king who had made them slaves. Can you imagine? Someone's made you a slave, and you decide, you know what? Because of the character that I have, because of who is inside of me, because I know the God I serve, because I know I've been created for something greater, even though I can't see it now, I'm going to serve with excellence. Do we serve with excellence within our businesses, within our careers, at our jobs? Do we serve our team with excellence? Do we serve our company with excellence? Do we complain instead? Do we say how our upline doesn't provide us what we need? Our company's not giving us everything that we think we should have? Our team just won't get busy? So, you know what? Oh, I'm just moving on. No, that's not what they did. They had excellence in character. But the thing that allowed them to live for something greater is they got really clear about their purpose, their why. You know, I've been teaching on the motivational why for years. But everywhere I go right now, that's all I can hear. That's all I'm teaching is about the why, because for some reason we've lost that. We're not exactly sure why we're doing what we're doing. We think we might know, but we don't take it to a deep, deep level, a level so deep that it shakes us and that we have that confirmation inside of our spirit, man, that we know, that we know, that we know this is the reason why we're on the planet. This is why we got to get out of bed every morning, and this is why anybody even cares we get out of bed every morning. When we're clear about our purpose, it's going to give us clarity, and that's exactly what Daniel had. You know, he could have really allowed his resentment for the people that conquered his nation overtake him. I'm sure that he had mixed feelings of hope for a better life because he was chosen to possibly be in this position, but also with the anger and the frustration that the lives of those that they loved most were taken. They're slaves now. Many believe, even honestly, that they became eunuchs, so their manhood was taken from them. That's got to be tough when you're a teen. Would he let his loyalty and his grief drive him to bitterness? Would you let frustration drive you to bitterness? Or would he be grateful for a chance at making a difference? Do you wake up every single day realizing that you have the opportunity? You've got freedom. If you're on this call, you've got more freedom than most people have because they are working another J-O-B. Somebody else is telling them exactly what to do and when to do it, when they can take a break, when they can go to the bathroom. It's almost like slavery. You have the opportunity to make a difference every day. What are you doing with it? I can tell you, I wake up out of bed, even if I'm sick as a dog, have the flu, whatever, I wake up every day knowing that I have the opportunity to make a difference. It helps drive me. It pushes me. It inspires me. It pulls me to my destiny because I'm clear about my purpose. I'm clear about my why. Wouldn't it be easy for somebody in Daniel's position to lose their way? You know, there's a Danish philosopher, Soren Kierkegaard, that remarked, and he says, what I really lack is to be clear in my mind what I'm to do, not what I'm supposed to know. He goes on to say that the thing is to understand myself, to see what God really wishes me to do, and to find that idea for which I can live and die. Now, I'm not saying that you need to live and die for your business. Your business is simply a vehicle. It's a vehicle for you to live out your purpose. Speaking of having that kind of conviction, you know, purpose gave Daniel conviction. He was placed in a position at the very beginning. He was offered food from the king's table, which would have been considered the very best in the delicacies of the land. But this would have caused them to violate the dietary laws that they were under as being Hebrew children and Hebrew young men. So would they bow to convenience or would they stand up on conviction? I want you to write that down. That just shook me to the core. Would they bow down to convenience or stand up on conviction? Isn't it easier just to give in and say, I'll make my calls another day? I'll make a difference in somebody else's life another day. I'll offer the business opportunity, the hosting opportunity, or customer opportunity another day. I'll coach my leaders to success another day. I won't invest in learning the skills that I need to in order to be the leader I need to be another day. They took a risk. Daniel especially, he kind of was like the leader of this group of four young men. He decided at that moment he would stand up, he would take a risk, he'd stretch his comfort area, and he knew that if their actions didn't bring the positive results that they had hoped, that it meant the death for them as well as each one of their guards. But what they did is they stood for what was right, knowing that they would win even if they lost. That's something that you're going to see inside of Daniel's life, his whole life. He was going to stand for what was right, doing the hard things even when nobody was watching. And he knew, because he was clear about his purpose, that he would win even if they lost. You know, they had certain values that would sustain them in defeat or in victory. They knew that even if they didn't win according to the world's standards, they had already won inside. You know, these men weren't drab, lifeless people. It tells us that they were young, they were sharp-looking, they were intelligent. These are all things from chapter 1, starting at verse 4. That they were diverse in skills, that they were competent, that they had servants' hearts, that they were teachable. They were convictional. They had favor with people. They were submissive because they were willing to become team players. They were relational because they had good people skills and charisma. They were well-informed. They possessed knowledge in a variety of different areas. They were gifted. Other people could see their abilities, and they had excellence. They were men of excellence and had very high standards. How do you measure up according to that checklist? You know, people with convictions are never drab. They're never lifeless. They don't really blend into the crowd. Somebody might have said to you, you know what, maybe you're a little brash, or maybe you just are always like above everything. Maybe you're a lot like Daniel. Are you standing and using those character qualities, those values for good? You know, I kind of think there's something that's so extraordinary, and it's something that I call Godfidence. A lot of us want to have confidence and be more confident. I'll be honest with you. I've got self-confidence, and that wanes. That comes and that goes at times. But I've got God confidence, or what I call Godfidence, and that does not wane. It doesn't change. Because I know who I am in Christ. I know what God says. Because he tells me in his word that our circumstances are changeable, but his word is not. So if I stand on his word and what he says I am and who he says I am, and I know that I'm working according to what he's called me to do, even if I don't understand it and I don't get it and it doesn't make sense, I know that I can be confident that he's got my back. He's going to protect me. Even if it looks like the circumstances around me that I'm failing miserably, as long as I'm obeying him and I'm trusting him, I'm going to be okay. And what I also realize is that my muscles, those faith-building muscles, they grow every time I use them, every time I stretch way beyond what I think I could do. God shows up with amazing resources. He promises to do the same for you. You know, I don't think Daniel really went out on a limb, to be honest with you. I think he already knew in his heart of hearts that he was confident that if he honored God, he would bring positive results to them. He knew that he had the favor of God, and with this God kind of confidence, that he would win. You know, Daniel won over many officials and convinced them to allow them to do this. And then after 10 days, they actually looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who had eaten the king's food. You know, Daniel reminds us that God has a purpose for each one of us. You were created on purpose for a purpose. But you've got to seek it. We need to obey what God asks us to do. We have to be faithful to him. You know, I believe that Daniel and his three friends, they had a bigger purpose than themselves. And when we have that same idea, when we know that our purpose is bigger than ourselves, it sets us apart from a crowd. They stood out among everybody else because they sensed they had a bigger purpose. God had a bigger purpose for them, and they stood up for God. They knew that they had to stand up and that God would take them through even a fiery furnace. They knew that their example would become a testimony for God's greatness, and the three were rewarded by being given greater influence. Now, I want you to listen to this, because this is so true about what can happen in our lives and in our businesses, that we can stand up, and when we share our testimony, it creates greater influence. They didn't compromise. I want to encourage you to do the same thing. Be yourself. Remain true to God. And don't compromise. And God will be glorified. You know, when we have a purpose that's bigger than ourselves, it's going to require God's favor. When your purpose is no greater than yourself, it's really easy for you to rely only on yourself. But when your purpose is bigger, so big that you couldn't possibly accomplish it on your own, you need God's favor to accomplish it. He's going to ask you to do things that you're incapable of doing. I'm going to tell you that right now. I know that doesn't sound like a lot of fun, but I'm telling you, when you can offer up that offering of praise and glory and that testimony to share with others and give that glory back to God, there's nothing as powerful as that. Did you know that greatness doesn't come from doing all you can do? It comes from allowing God to do all he can do through you. When your purpose is bigger than you, it's going to give you courage. Just as God gave favor to each one of these young men, he also gave them the courage. They knew that they'd be protected. God even sent a physical angel to protect Daniel when he was in the lion's den. Have you ever been offered up through gossip or through harsh words and felt like you were being fed to the lions for standing up and doing what was right? Do you know that every time that Daniel made a courageous decision, he developed that muscle, that courage muscle, that favor, that trust, that believing, that conviction? If you seek God's bigger purpose and you choose to follow him, he's going to give you the courage that you need to fulfill the task that he gives you. Now, I'm not going to candy coat this one at all. You're going to be tested. You're going to be tested in that area about your purpose. When you choose to follow a bigger purpose, it's not a one-time decision. Your resolve is going to be tested. And that's one thing that we saw over and over. They had unwavering faith and unwavering resolve. But know that it will be tested. And if you want to finish well, you got to keep choosing to follow God. You know, I'm sure that at one point they thought, it might be just easier to eat the wrong foods. Or to just not interpret the dream and try to do something that no one could possibly do. How could you possibly know what someone had dreamt and then be able to interpret it? That had to be a God thing, right? What about the time when it was kind of hard to speak the truth to the kings? Not kind of hard. They knew that their life was on the line. And then when Daniel faced the lions, he had to choose to follow God no matter what. When your time of testing comes, I want you to make the right decision. Choose God. Do it continually. Because your purpose isn't for yourself, it's for God. Do you know that God already chose your purpose before he chose you as the person? It tells us that in the Word. Daniel's word gives us strength and hope and God's desire to do the important things in and through us. What happens to us is that many times it's easy to look at the world. Sometimes it's not easy to do what's important to us. But if it matters to God, it's important, and we need to do that. We need to lead for God. In order for us to do that, we need not to be born into an important family or some kind of position or riches or even have a title or position. Daniel started his career as a slave, and you know he died as a slave as well. But what he did in his lifetime made an impact that's still raising the levels of excellence around the world. God chose your purpose before he even created you to fulfill it. He tells us in Jeremiah that he knew us, that he set us apart, that he appointed us. He gave you your unique set of strengths as well as weaknesses to match the significant call on your life. He specifically designed you for your unique purpose. God's purpose for us was in place before we were born. Are you going to live it out? Are you going to stand up for what you believe in? Are you going to take your business, your place that you are in the workplace or in school or whatever you are in life or where you are in life, are you going to start living into the purpose and doing it on purpose with intentionality and with excellence? God's prepared in advance for you what he wants you to do. If that's the case and you'll just be willing to walk it out, he's going to give you every resource you need to fulfill it. I want to encourage you today to live into that. I want to encourage you today to live a life of excellence, one without compromise, one that's to do the right thing, to walk as close to God and excellence as you can, to live that out in your business, to make a bigger difference, to determine, I'm going to find out what my motivational why is, what my purpose, what my divine destiny is. I'm going to be convicted. I'm going to be resolved to live it out. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Father God, we know that you have a purpose for my friends. Reveal it to them in a deeper way. Give them the clarity to know it, the conviction to fulfill it, and the confidence to invite others into it with them. Use this, Lord, to influence others. Grow your kingdom in and through us. Give them the courage that they need when they have the times of testing, because we know they'll come. You tell us in your word, without a doubt, that it'll come. Help us to stand strong. Help us to build those courage muscles, those trust muscles, that faith, that unwavering belief. Lord, we want your will to be done in and through them. Lord, we surrender our lives to you, that we can live into a bigger purpose, a greater purpose, something greater than we ever anticipated. Father, I pray in Jesus' name you'll heal those that are feeling ill. Lord, you tell us in your word that you've already taken all of our sickness and disease, Lord. Help us to live into that and to receive your healing in Jesus' name. Lord, we praise you for connections and friendships that we have and that we meet as a result of our business. Help us to be faithful with those, Lord, to draw them closer to you, to live out Jesus, to emulate what he does, especially in those times when we're not feeling patient, we're not feeling full of grace or mercy, when our focus may be on ourselves. Lord, we ask forgiveness for that. We ask that you would help us to live and to act more like Jesus did. Lord, I pray that you'll give Carol's husband a good week this week, and that you'll continue to restore Bonnie's health back to her, Lord. She's got such a great purpose, and she's on fire for you, making a difference in her grandson's life and in her teen's life and with her business, Lord, in every aspect. Lord, we command healing right now to take over her body. We command every cell in Jesus' name to start functioning properly. We rebuke any toxicity. We command that you must go in Jesus' name. That any swelling, any pain, you must go in Jesus' name. Any inflammation, in Jesus' name, you must go. And that it's replaced with cells that are rejuvenated and better than new. And Lord, we pray for Pam's son. Lord, you know that Pam and her husband love their son so deeply. Help them to be able to love unconditionally. Help them to be like the parent of the prodigal son, out looking, seeking, praying, believing the best for their son, and that he can feel that. Lord, that he would stop the isolation and the separation. He would come back to you, that he would be healed in Jesus' name, and his emotions would be healed, his mind would be healed, that if there's any, and Lord, I don't know this, but for some reason in my heart that I just feel like there might be some kind of addiction, we break you in Jesus' name, whether it's a substance or whether it's an addiction to unhealthy behaviors or unhealthy people, we break it in Jesus' name. Lord, we lift up every one of the young people in our lives. Lord, this is your next generation. Help us to be faithful in how we parent them, how we grandparent them, how we mentor them in Jesus' name. And Lord, help them to rise up, to be men and women on purpose with resolve and character, just like Daniel and his friends. Lord, I pray especially for Pam's children or son and for my children and all the other children out there, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you just draw them closer to you and you have godly men and women speak into their life, that they are completely surrounded with your word, with love, bringing them back. We will not sacrifice our children to the world. Absolutely not. We rebuke the enemy in Jesus' name. We call them back to you, Lord, and we ask that you will run them down like you tell us you will do, in Jesus' name. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you. We thank you that we have an amazing week and favors going out before each and every person, that they see those resources manifest today for those things that seem bigger than us and beyond what we can absolutely do. We step in faith. We love you, Father God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have an amazing week, everybody, and I'll be with you again next week. Be sure to invite your friends and know that I'm here for you. The replay will be posted later on Facebook as well as on my website under the free tab, BeckySpeeth.com. I love you guys. Talk with you next week. Bye.